This is a HeadGum Podcast. I was just in Mexico City a few weekends ago, and I could not have gotten there without my Away bag. You guys know we love Away. It is the best luggage company on the planet. Away uses high-quality materials while offering you a much lower price compared to other brands by cutting out the middleman and selling directly to you. I mean, I cannot begin to tell you how much I love my Away bag. It's so durable. I've taken it everywhere with me. I have the carry-on size. It fits perfectly in the overhead compartment. I love it so much. I've never had a single problem with it. They also have four 360-degree spinner wheels, so I can truly just navigate that thing all over the place. You can sprint with it. You can sit on it. You can do everything with it. It's made with premium German polycarbonate, unrivaled in strength and impact resistant. The interior features a patent-pending compression system, helpful for overpackers like moi. And there are, like I said, the 360-degree spinner wheels that I love. Also, the TSA-approved combination lock, so no one can steal your stuff, which is very important. Also, they offer a bunch of different sizes. So you can get a carry-on size, you can get a size even smaller than that, you can get a size bigger than that, and most of all, the carry-on size bags are able to charge your cell phone and tablets and e-readers and anything else that's powered by a USB cord, which is incredible. So there's also a lifetime warranty. So if anything breaks, they'll fix it and replace it for you for life. There's a 100-day trial also, so live with it. See if you like it. And if you don't like it, send it back. But you know what? You're going to love it because I love it. I have the navy one. It's great. It's chic. It's perfect. It's just the best. So for our lady lovers, you get $20 off of a suitcase by visiting awaytravel.com/lovin, L-O-V-I-N, and use the promo code lovin, L-O-V-I-N. The whole code is lowercase. Otherwise, it won't work. So $20 off a suitcase. Amazing. Awaytravel.com/lovin, L-O-V-I-N, using the promo code lovin, L-O-V-I-N, all lowercase. You are going to love it. Hey guys, welcome to a brand new episode of Lady Lovin. I am one of your hosts, Lauren Ogilvy Bosworth. And here we also have Jill.
Jillian, Emily. Won't even tell you my real last name.
Oh my God, just tell them.
It's a secret. I like to remain secretive. It's the one, people know this about me. One time, some girl DM'd me last week, and she goes, "Greta, who are you dating?" And then I said, "I like to keep things private." I said, "I like to keep things private."
Jill likes
and
to keep
she said,
private.
"Oh, don't what? Tell me. You're going to say I like to keep things private." It was pretty funny. Well, Lo was like, why won't you say
your full name on the air?
Yeah, and I like to keep
things
private.
And Jill was
private.
Like, I want to keep things private.
I you know, because one day I'm going to be a big star, Lo, and when I go to check into a hotel room, no one will know it's me.
No one will know it's you?
That's a joke.
You know, it's very easy to look up everyone's name online.
Did you also know that, remember celebrities, when they used to go to hotel rooms, they would give fake names like Little Bambi Tree. And they'd be like,
or like Harry Houdini.
I'm staying under Little Bambi Tree, because they wouldn't stay under their real name.
Yeah, exactly.
So funny. People are ridiculous. Everyone thinks they're so cool.
Well, a lot of people think that they're just like really important.
Or special.
When we're all special and we're all important.
I like having a fake last name. I have a real serious cue for you two ladies today.
What's up? Oh, my name's Greta Rose Teitelman, by
the way.
Great,
Greta. Thank you for that. I have a serious cue for you, too.
What?
I assume that both of you will engage in marriage because you both have said that you wanted to. When you engage in marriage, will you be taking someone else's last name? Will you be keeping your last name? Will they take your last name, or will you hyphenate?
Well, if I can find somebody who wants to marry me.
You will.
I'll marry you.
What is that line? Greta and I will both marry you, single, but it could be illegal.
When you've been single for a long time and you are having a bad luck streak of dating.
Girl, I was single.
You kind of think it's never going to happen.
I was single for 7 years.
I get it. Also, I'm just saying.
I know. But you get people get into like a very doomsday headspace.
You gotta think positive. Think positive.
Lo, all of the guys you've dated all want to be with you. You just don't want to be with them.
So? That's true. You've broken up with pretty much every one of your boyfriends.
Which is totally fine and
you,
great.
Which you should, as Greta would say, dump his ass.
Why can't I be satisfied, you guys?
No, you should be.
You Look, should be. You will be.
Too many people are out here settling because they're scared that they're going to be alone for the rest of their lives. No one should be settling just because they think they should be getting married or are scared that they're going to be alone for forever. That's like not the right approach, you know?
But like I know what being alone feels like now as an adult for an extended period of time, and it's fucking awful.
No, it's yes, not it the is. Worst.
It's not the worst thing in the world. And I know Loneliness that you want to find love, and you will.
Loneliness is a mindset. It is not a state of being.
My therapist said that to me once.
Also, I do feel like you're opening
name choice.
You're opening your heart in ways that you didn't know you could in this time period.
Maybe. Or else I just feel lonely and just like go and hang out at my parents' house.
No, I think that it's going to happen. All right, back to my cue.
Okay, sorry. Greta, what's your answer?
I'm just upset that you think that you feel that way.
Yeah.
Well, that makes me upset. Happens.
I know it happens. It happens for a lot of people are scared that they're going to be alone for the rest of their life. And that's a really crazy way to feel.
Do you want to know what's worse? Feeling alone in a relationship.
Totally. That's worse than feeling alone in a relationship. It's the worst thing
on the planet.
Like, you
don't want to just be in a relationship to be in a relationship. That would suck.
No, and a lot of people do that too. To me, that's like falls in the same camp as people just like settling and doing things because they feel like it's what they're supposed to be doing, you know? Like, imagine if we all just authentically were just 100% who we were. Imagine like how different life would be.
And I think we weren't, it would be different.
And we weren't faced with like societal pressures or peer pressures or like all of these things that impact us every single day, you know, and they impact us in ways that like you don't even know. So like, you know, if our society wasn't structured such that you got married, you know, your late 20s, early 30s, blah, blah, blah. If it wasn't like that, if it was structured that it was very natural and appropriate to be alone or to not have a partner for however long, you wouldn't be feeling this way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I think that our
we're wired to be with bodies. People too. Like a lot of people want companionship. We're animals.
Of
you know?
Course. I just mean that I think that a lot of it too has to deal with there's a lot of extra societal pressures outside of the natural nature wanting companionship. I think there's a lot of other things too that impact how we feel that compounds it.
Yes. There are like societal structures that affect the way that we feel. But I mean, there's a huge part of just nature and human
totally
nature.
Like mating and wanting to have
yeah
a mate.
And like as a woman like your body's like fertile and ripe when you're 19, you know what I mean?
Totally.
Like,
okay, I have a question though real quick about that. My body was not ready when I was 19, I'll tell you that much. My mind and body were not ready to have babies at 19.
Well, your body could, your mind not have been able to handle it, but your body could for sure.
Yeah, but then yeah. If my mind couldn't handle it, then
like
my body wouldn't
fertility.
Be able
no.
I don't know, I'd probably have gone crazy. I didn't really become... Okay, let's go back to the queue, the main queue.
No, what were you saying?
Nothing of importance.
Are you sure it sounded important?
You know,
it sounded with, I didn't really become.
It wasn't.
Okay.
All I'm saying is that our bodies are just nice and fertile when you're like, you know, 20 years old.
Nice and fertile when you're
mind,
a little squirtle.
Your mind might not be nice and fertile yet.
No, my mind was fertile at 29.
My mind was fertile at like 8.
Whoa.
I mean, my mind, sometimes I wish I could like go back into my child's mind and just like, because I was like popping off with some really insane ideas as a kid.
Totes.
I wish I could get back to that point just to like get in touch with that little brain and see what was happening in there. I mean, I was making.
It'd be very cool.
I was making a really good veggie salad when I was like 7 that I want to know the inspiration behind that.
I know that none of us have children, but I think a lot of us get in touch with, like, our childlike minds again when we, like, have children and we see them grow and develop firsthand. You, like,
yeah.
Remember, you know, what it's like. You can,
be
like, connect
a child.
To it. Yeah.
Have you guys
I've
noticed
just to
that
see, like,
everything...
How fantastical the mind is.
Have you guys noticed that everything is really about childbirth right now? Like, ever since that Mother's Day Amy Schumer episode on SNL and then Ali Wong special came out and then even on... Michelle Wolf's show, she has a whole section about how she doesn't want to have babies. And then everything I see now is like about childbirth or like pregnancy. It's like crazy. I've never in my life, it's everywhere I go. I go to the gym, the person working out to me is like having a baby. Then like everywhere.
That's our age. I mean, all of us are in an age group where friends are starting to have kids.
But like, childbirth has never been more prevalent on TV, I feel like. Or like talking about childbirth and like being pregnant and like the issues and all of that.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably very accurate. Who knows, you know? I mean, I'm sure that that's true.
I feel like it's following me around.
Can I say something that might be a little controversial?
What's that?
In regards to the content that Julia's been seeing a lot lately? Because I've been seeing it too. Or it's maybe I'm more. Just, like, in New York Magazine, there's, like, this whole series dedicated to, like, what it feels like to be a mom and, like, yes. all this stuff. And I, like, keep reading it. And, like, I'm having, like, a lot of, like, jealousy about all of these, like, women who are having these experiences. And it's making me feel, like, fucking pissed.
I'm not pissed, but
I'm, like, envious. I'm, like... Like, I'm a woman, and I want those things. And, like, you feel so special because you have accomplished this goal.
I also feel the same.
It breaks my heart.
I feel the same way, Lo. Like, I feel like I want to have kids, and I want all of that. But everything that's happening right now is really making me also feel like I'm inadequate because I don't have that. Or, like, I'm not having those same experiences. It's even, like, how everyone's obviously sharing more on social media about it. And it's, like. I don't know. I'm getting the same sort of feelings, and it's very weird, inadequate. And I don't know what to do. It's
inadequate
odd.
Is the yeah. exact right word. Like, I feel the same way.
I'm working.
And I just, like, fuck.
I'm working. I'm building my life. I'm doing all those things. I know I want that, and I'm not there yet in my life where I feel like I want to have a kid right now, but I do want that. But, it does. It's definitely making me feel like there's something, like, missing or, like, I'm not – like worthy enough. I know that's like a really weird term, but I feel the exact same way. That's totally. Crazy.
It's very weird.
Never I don't before. Feel that way at all. I don't feel that way at all. Like last night I was at my brother's and I was hanging out with my nephew and my new niece, and you all of us are aunts. We all have little babies in our lives. And, you know, I love being there. I love hanging out with them. A bunch of my, like, some of my best friends, one of my best friends is pregnant. Another one just had a baby. Like, some of my friends in New York, especially, all have kids now. Mm-hmm. Like, Ray, who was on our show, had a baby. Anna, who was also on our show, is pregnant.
Yeah.
You know, a bunch of my friends are popping out kids. And just last night, just, like, being with my nephew who's 3 and my niece who is a month, maybe like 6 weeks old. I was just like, wow, I am in no way ready to handle that.
I feel that and too, like, though. Like, I don't feel like I'm ready, but I feel like because I don't have it now and because I don't think that I'm ready, it makes me like feel bad.
It makes you feel inadequate.
Yeah. Like, it's, yeah, like, I guess, feel like I could actually, because there are, I just don't feel like I'm in the exact place where I want to have a kid right now. But, like, I feel like I'm, like, missing out on all of these, like, experiences and these sort of things that people are doing.
I kind of think that, like, the amazing thing about being a woman is that we all get to have that experience in, like, our own unique way, you know? And I think that... For both of you guys, you'll 100% have that experience, and that experience will be, like, all your own. So, like, all of those articles and things that you read, I understand the envy factor and the jealousy factor because you're like, I want that. Like, I want to settle. I want to have a family. I want these things. But, like, once it comes and once you have it, it's going to be such a different experience that, like, won't even be comparable to what you're reading.
It's also, like, people complaining about it. You know what I mean? Like, it's like when someone's getting married and they're complaining about their wedding, and you're just sort of like, you're getting married. Like, you're doing, like, the most exciting, happy thing that's for your, like, life, you know? And it's like, you're complaining about it, and it's, like, some huge issue. And I also, like, feel like that's, you know, sort of, I don't mean that people can't, like, complain about their experiences or, like, obviously discuss them, but that sort of thing also, like, plays along into it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I just think, you know, I understand feeling like, fuck, like, I want these things, being envious of stuff like that, because I get envious of stuff like that with, like, career stuff. you know, like when I read about people that are like in my age range, like at my doing this, doing that, getting like certain opportunities, getting things like that, there's a part of me that gets like envious like that.
Oh, me too.
You know what I mean?
I definitely feel it in the career.
I think that that's just a natural, that's just like a natural way, that's a natural way to feel, you know? And like, and jealousy and envy are like such ugly ways to feel, but the reality is everyone feels them in one way or another.
I've felt that in my career a bunch, but I never felt that like in the, in this sort of like the family life, you know? I've never even felt that like when I've seen pictures of other people's families and ever been like, oh, I want to be that family. Like, I've never felt like that before ever. This is like the only time that I felt this sort of way, you know?
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's like all these people are like, look at my grand achievement, and now I'm going to rub it in your face. All of you single, lonely girls.
No. In the other way, I do think it's beautiful the way that people are sharing about like motherhood and about the like actual experience of motherhood and like
how. Totally. I'm sure you're so excited, and all you want to do is shout it from the rooftops.
Not even that, just the fact that people are like, oh, you like rip open your inside, your like vagina when you have a baby, and like no one ever talked about that. Like, I never even learned that till 3 years ago. You know what I mean? So like, I'm so happy that all of that is like getting out into the world and that people are like sharing their experiences of being like, I'm working really hard and I'm a mother, and they're both equally important. And I think that that dialogue is like super important. So on a positive note, like that's really great that all of that's happening.
Totally. I'm not shitting on moms.
No, me neither. I'm shitting on moms.
I'm just
neither of you are shitting on moms.
We're just saying
made to feel inadequate by all these,
and that's like a really
mom ladies,
and that's a really like shitty way to feel. It sucks feeling that way, you know, because those are valid feelings too. Feeling inadequate is like the worst feeling in the world, you know, especially when you see something that you want and then you're like, wait, like, why is this not connecting for me?
Right.
Like, I feel like I'm doing everything right. I'm going through all of the steps. I'm trying to execute all of this properly. Why am I not getting the results?
Totally. I'm getting a little tear in my eye because of it.
Oh, my Loey.
It's okay.
I get it. I mean, I feel a totally different way. I feel it with my career. I'm like, I'm doing all this stuff. Like, I'm ready for a result, you know? And it's...
Yes.
It's... But we must remember, like I said a few minutes ago, all of these things will come to us. It's all just going to take its own course. Like, not... Like, the journeys for all of us are totally different. And the hardest thing to try and do is to not compare ourselves, which is literally the hardest thing to do on the planet, is to not compare. But you really can't compare because it's just not your life.
With my career stuff, I've always like feel that way, but I always know that when I get to the next step, there's always going to be another step I want. It's like, I know I've already realized with my career, I'll never be like satisfied at like one place because I'll always want to be get the next thing and be waiting for the next thing. So that's like,
I think
I've come to peace with like that. Like, that doesn't stress me out anymore because I know that that's just like the way of the career that I've chosen, you know?
I also just think that that's kind of life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What we think we want as a 10-year-old and then the person we become as a 15-year-old, it goes so early on. Like, when your perspective is constantly changing, the older that you get and what you expect and what you want, whether it's professionally or personally, is constantly evolving. So I think that that's just like across the board for life. It's like you get to one level and then there's another thing. You know what I mean? It's constant growth. It's just constant evolution.
I guess it's also like, imagine when you have baby number one, you're like, when am I having number two? And then it's like, when are they going into school? And then like, when are they getting like that? So I'm sure that it's
It doesn't stop. It's like you have baby number one. It's like, okay, baby number one, let's watch you become a toddler. Let's get you into school. Now let's get you into high school. Now let's get you into college. Now let's make sure you have a good career and are safe and happy. And then let's see you get into a relationship. And then after that, maybe you want to get married or maybe you just want to have a partner. Who knows? And then maybe you want to have kids. And by this time, I'm fucking 80. You know, and I'm just trying to retire somewhere and be low key. You know what I mean? It's like crazy.
Hopefully, but then you're like, but where can I retire?
I mean, whatever. But like, but where can I retire? Like, I have fucking grandkids. Like, it's nonstop.
Totally.
It's just nonstop.
We're all just looking for peace at the end of the day.
Wait, you guys, I think I spread fake news last week, and what? I think it was that Nicki Minaj and Eminem were dating, which I guess is fake news, which is upsetting to me because I wish they were.
Hmm. Greta, wait, we're going to get back to your
question.
We never answered questions.
That's true.
Yeah.
About whether we're going to take people's names.
Or you're going to hyphenate, or they're going to take yours, or you're going to keep yours and he's going to keep his.
Right.
Lo, do you want to, how do you feel?
I don't know. I don't want this to come back and bite me in the butt one day.
I'll tell you how I feel. How about that? And then you can go if that will make you
go.
Will that make you feel more comfortable?
Yeah.
Well, because I don't go by my real last name, I think I wouldn't change it. So that's
meaning
my answer.
You wouldn't change, wait, meaning you would still go by Hendrix?
Well, I go by that for work. I wouldn't change my work name to someone right. else's name. I would just keep that my name.
So you're not taking someone's name?
No, I wouldn't at this point.
You know, I think someone had a joke. Someone had a joke about it. I forget which comedian had a joke about it. But like the concept of taking a name, everyone's like, well, I don't want to give up my name. And it's like, well, really, your last name is just the last name of your mother's father. And really, you know what I mean? So it's like, we really actually don't know what any fucking woman's last name is because it's always just been some man's last name.
Well, I feel like it doesn't even matter. It doesn't even matter
to me.
I would rather just, I go by my professional name. So, like, no one really knows my other name, so it doesn't even really matter.
God, I wish I could remember who said that because it's so funny and so true. It's just like, you know, yeah, like, your mom's last name is truly just her father's last name.
Yeah, but I think
and his mom's last name is her father's last name.
It's the identity that you grew up with, though. You know what I mean? Like, you took this name on when you were younger. Besides the heritage fact of it, it's still, like, your name. It's what you've been called by. Like,
sure,
when you do change your name, you have to go through. You have to change your email. You have to change
your
social name.
I guess
your
email, you need to... Greta's point is that it's about, like, the patriarchy.
It's about the patriarchy.
You guys are approaching it from a different perspective.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I'm approaching it more from, like, you've been given this name and, like, this is what people know you as, and then you have to change the whole entire thing, and it's definitely, like, a process, especially if you do it by the time, like, when you're in your 30s versus, like, early on in your career in your 20s. It's definitely, like, you're changing a whole thing.
You have to get global entry all over again.
You need to go to the fucking Social Security office.
Like, I've been there.
It's just like crazy. It's
I've been to the one in downtown Manhattan.
Yeah.
It actually was really pleasant. There were no people there.
That's great.
I had to get a new Social Security card and there was literally not a soul in there and it took me 5 minutes.
Lo, do you feel comfortable now answering?
Yeah. So, I think professionally, I guess, like, I'll keep my last name because I think that there's could be too much, like, marketplace confusion.
That's how I feel, marketplace confusion.
But in my private life, I would be open to taking someone's last name and, like, changing all my credit cards and all that shit. I'd be open to it. Like, I don't really feel strongly one way or the other. And so I think that if my person felt strongly one way or the other, I would happily oblige them.
Yeah.
Unless it's like an awful name.
Yeah. Like
I'd happily oblige, except.
Yeah.
On
it's
one
a bad
condition.
Last name, it's no bueno. For me, I would just never want to go through the headache of like
changing
everything.
It all. I know.
So, like, no, I probably wouldn't.
It's a no for me, dog?
It's a no for me, dog. It's not that I, like, regardless of my stance with, like, the patriarchal significance behind it of just, like, general
ownership.
Female ownership, yeah, which is fucked up, I just, like, wouldn't want to deal with it because it seems really stressful and annoying to deal with.
I also feel like I tried to go by my real last name, and then people had no idea, and they were so confused and thought that there was two people, Jilly Hendrix, and then me and my last name, and it was so confusing. So that's why I ended up just going by Jilly Hendrix. So I couldn't do that again. It's just
see,
too much.
You've already experienced.
I've already experienced it, and it was just with an alter ego.
Yeah, you know, I think that because we're all so connected in the digital age, it's kind of hard to go through a name change, honestly, unless you're. Like, what's that rapper's name? Sean P. Diddy Combs or whatever?
Yeah, what about Diddy?
He keeps shortening it.
Well, now he goes by Brother Love.
He's always changing. But, you know, unless you have, like, a crazy publicist who's able to publicize your name change, most people don't.
So what if you hired a publicist to publicize your name change?
And like, think about, just like you said, your work email, you could change your name, your display name, but like you can't change your work email address, or else like, I don't know.
Well, like my sister changed her last name, obviously. And not obviously, but she did. And she then, every time I emailed her, it would be like, please email like my new last name. And it was just like very confusing to me. And to this day, like I still accidentally email her old email.
The wrong one.
Yeah. But you guys, I would just like to say that Puffy, a.k.a. Puff Daddy, when he first came out, he was Puff Daddy. And then he became P. Diddy. Puff Daddy or Puffy, and then he became P. Diddy, and then he just became Diddy, so he dropped the P.
I like Puffy.
And then...
I like Puff Daddy.
After Diddy, he started referring to himself as Sean Combs when he was, like, acting. Mm. And then, as of 2017... he announced that he would be going by the name Love, a.k.a. Brother Love.
Okay.
He's been through a lot, this man. He's had a lot of lives.
Yeah. So now he's just Love.
Did you know that Diddy has someone filming him at all
cultural
times?
Cultural references. I love it.
A lot of people do. Beyonce does.
Diddy has someone filming him at all times, and he recently went to a Sweetgreen, and the woman working at Sweetgreen ran out and was like, Diddy, I love you so much, and gave him like a really big hug. And he posted on Instagram.
Yeah, Diddy's what's up? Really, you follow him on Instagram?
It was really cute. And then Sweetgreen reposted it. And it was just like a really beautiful brand video.
He's also been dating Cassie on and off for a really long time.
I loved his model. He was dating Kim Porter. Remember her? I think it's his baby mama.
Maybe. He has 6 kids.
Whoa.
Well, this is enough of our pop culture.
Yeah,
tangent.
Greta is really into pop culture these days.
I mean, you guys, what can I say? I'm an LA girl now, you know?
She is. All right, let's take a quick little break and hear from our sponsors.
Today's episode of Lady Lovin' is brought to you by Storyworth, which is the easiest way to share your story. And I'm really excited about this because it has something to do with my mom, but I'll get into that later. So for those of you that don't know what Storyworth is, it makes it easy and fun for your loved ones to share their personal stories with weekly emailed story prompts, questions you've never thought to ask. At the end of the year of getting all of these weekly emails, they'll get their stories bound together in a beautiful hardcover book. You can strengthen your family bonds and get to know your loved one in a whole new way. So here's how it works. You purchase a subscription for somebody that you love, and each week, Storyworth sends them an email with a question about their life. They simply reply to this email with their story, or they can record it over the phone by calling the Storyworth number. All of the stories are private and only shared with the family that you choose. And then after that year, the stories are bound together in a beautiful keepsake book. And when I heard about Storyworth, I absolutely fell in love with the concept. So I signed up with my mom a little while ago, and I'm planning on giving her this amazing book for Christmas, which is really far out, but I'm like in the midst of it right now because you get the subscription for a year. So they ask them, you know, that many questions over the course of the year with these weekly emails. So I'm so, so excited to see how this comes together. And so, like I said, you get this hardcover printed book, and you can also upload photos and things like that. You can save and edit all of your stories on storyworth.com, and I'm just like so excited to present my mom with this amazing book, and I'm gonna get one too. It's a great keepsake. So if you want to get involved with Storyworth, also, we're offering $20 off today. You go to storyworth.com/lovin, and again, you just want to get that $20 off, you're going to head over to storyworth.com/lovin when you subscribe, and you are going to be able to take advantage of that special offer. So I hope that you guys do it and enjoy these beautiful stories and books with you and your family.
I love traveling. I mean, you guys just heard me spill my guts about how much I love traveling to Mexico City. It's just the best thing in the world. And what better way to explore a city than by booking the rental of your dreams. And do not look any further than tripping.com, because tripping.com is one search that lets you compare every home from the world's top vacation rental sites in one place to find the best deal on your preferred vacation rental. Vacation rentals simply just offer more. You have more privacy, you have more space, you have more choices, you get fully stocked kitchens, extra bedrooms, and even hot tubs, all the comforts of home, and then some, even when you're in another country, a million miles away. Best of all, at tripping.com, you can join the millions of travelers who find more savings with rates up to 80% less than traditional hotel rooms. I mean, that's so much savings. So if you're planning, you know, a summer vacation, you want to go to the beach, tripping.com. If you want to get to Lake Tahoe this summer, tripping.com. Dreaming of sitting on the deck of a Smoky Mountains cabin? Tripping.com. This year, save time and money when you book the vacation home of your dreams with tripping.com/lovin. L-O-V-I-N. That is tripping.com/lovin. L-O-V-I-N. Find your perfect vacation rental just right there at tripping.com/lovin. And we're back. We are back with... Lo, are you going to do a music cue?
Oh, what was the music that I did?
It was like la 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 la
la la la la la la la.
Listener emails.
La la la.
Yes, great. On this new segment of listener emails, we have hot emails coming for you today.
I love hot emails.
The first one I really, I chose because I really identify with this, and the subject line is sex after a breast reduction. So I recently had a breast reduction, and I am not super comfortable taking my top off in front of a man. I'm single and ready for flamingle. I've never heard the term flamingle, but I am down for the summer, especially with the new freedom of a downsized rack. I used to take off my top, and it was just like I just opened Pandora's box to a man. Now it's going to be smaller and equally sexy breasts, but I've got some nasty scars, and I'm worried it's going to turn a guy off. Do I broach the subject before we have sex? If so, how? I know I should just assume that any dude who wants to see me naked isn't going to be put off by my scars, but is it really that easy? Cheers, and keep up the amazing work.
I think it really is that easy.
Girl, I have breast reduction scars. I got a breast reduction. And I understand the feeling of feeling self-conscious about your scars. But you need to know that, like, your scars, first of all, if you got it done, you said you recently had a breast reduction. You have, like, so much healing ahead of you. So whatever you think your scars look like now, you have, like, they're going to really heal and change, like, the more time passes. In terms of, like, taking them off and scaring a man, I understand that feeling. If you feel comfortable and, like, you want to hook up with them, just be like, look, I just got a breast reduction. Because at the end of the day, like, yeah, people do see that, and people will wonder, you know? So, like, look.
If someone's judging you, though, and if you're getting naked and they're like, oh, that scar's gross on your boob, it's like, fuck them.
Of course, really fuck them for sure, but I understand the self-conscious aspect yeah, of it. Like, these definitely. Scars, my, you know, I got a breast reduction, I got a breast reduction 13 years ago, and, you know, I have scars. Like, I can see my scars. They are visible. They are there. But, like, you know, it's come to the point, though, for me where I, once I was sort of past the main healing, which I think healing really does take, like, a solid year, mm-hmm. I didn't say anything to guys after that. I stopped. I think that right now you're just in a place where you recently got it done, and it's an intense surgery. It's invasive. And I totally support you in, like, before doing anything, if you want to, saying, like, hey, by the way, I got a breast reduction. But if you're in, like, the heat of the moment, like, who cares, you know? Totally. And again, like, if they're going to freak out, and then if they're going to freak out and be like, what's that? And you tell them and they still freak out, fuck them. You know what I mean?
I don't think that people... generally, normal people freak out over somebody's scars, especially in the moment. If anything, it's going to be a polite person. They're going to ask you after that and be like, what's going on? Yeah, like, what's going on there? Like, are you okay? And then you're just like, yeah, I got a breast reduction. And they'll be like, oh, cool.
I have a huge scar in my shoulder, and usually guys ask about it the minute it's over.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not in as personal of a place, so I wouldn't know how to.
I have anchor scars on my boobs, which is like around the nipple, down the center, and under my whole boob. So I have like big scars popping, and I understand what you're feeling. I think that like the only, like honestly, take care of those marks. I took such diligent care, and my scars are like really light. They're there. Mm-hmm.
I've never even noticed your scars.
Yeah, I mean,
and girl, I've seen a lot of nude photos of you.
See?
Oh yeah, they're barely there.
I'm showing my boobs.
She's flashing us.
Yeah, I just think you gotta just like I totally understand where you're coming from of feeling self-conscious, because when you look at in the mirror at your boobs, especially when they're like the scars are pink and like raised, you might have some bruising. Like you probably look at your boobs and you're like, "Fuck, these look like Frankenstein boobs right now." But that no one, like all guys, are lucky to see a boob. That's all I have to say.
You should just feel confident about your beautiful new boobs.
Yeah, but I get it. I mean, I totally understand. And again, I think that, like, if you're in the heat of the moment, don't say anything. But if you're feeling kind of like, ugh, I kind of want to say something, just say something. And anyone that, like, freaks out negatively is not worth your time.
I agree.
Fab. Should I move on to the next question?
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I also have a question, too.
Who wants to go first?
No, I have a question from email.
Oh. What is it?
She says, SOS, I'm a wreck. Please help.
What is it?
I was listening to one of your episodes when Jilly said, let go or be dragged. And that has really resonated with me. I've tried to apply that mantra to my life and has helped me progress in my recovery. I'm currently recovering from an eating disorder while living with anxiety and depression. I've had my ups and downs and have really struggled this year with everything that has been thrown at me. I'm a third-year honors student going into the medical field. My grandfather is terminally ill with ALS, and my foreign boyfriend of 3 years just graduated from a university in the U.S. and is in the process of getting an F1 visa. I've been in such a funk lately that nothing has been able to alleviate. In my life, I don't know how to relay my feelings well to my therapist because she is so caught up with my eating disorder and doesn't really make an effort to focus on my other concerns. If she does acknowledge my non-eating disorder feelings, she disregards other causes and blames them directly on my eating disorder. I've been really isolated from my friends and family, and I've completely lost my sex drive, which is devastating to me because I love sharing intimate moments with my boyfriend. I know you all have been through difficult times, and I was wondering if you guys could offer some advice on how you cope throughout your tougher times and maybe share stories of when you were finally broke through or suppress the depressed mood you're in. If you all have any other words of wisdom, mantra, or advice, let me know. I'm being dragged by my mental illness right now, and I want to find new coping methods to explore to possibly free myself from it.
Well, I think that you have to forgive yourself for feeling this way. 'Cause yeah. Not that you would necessarily feel guilty, like not like you brought this on yourself, but I think you have to forgive yourself because it's gonna take time, and like you're not gonna be able to do your best and be your happiest at every single moment, and that's okay. I think that's what I mean when I say you have to be able to forgive yourself. Like being okay with being uncomfortable is a really good place to start. But I know firsthand just how uncomfortable being uncomfortable can be. So it's something that is not the easiest thing to do. Like I'm not just saying that and being like, oh, like it's a cinch, like that'll just happen for you overnight. I think it takes a lot of practice to feel that way. But when I am down and, you know, like it comes and goes for me, you know what I mean? Like I had moments where I was like really depressed for a while and, you know, like generally feel better, but like for me, like when I'm PMSing, like I have like a week plus where I feel fucking awful again. It like brings me back to a really uncomfortable place, like pretty frequently. And you just have to remember that it's okay to feel this way, and like this too shall pass. And the more that you beat yourself up about it, the more you start to do obsessive thinking, and then the more anxious you get, and then the more depressed you get. And it's a vicious cycle. So if you can just allow yourself to feel like shit, I find that it passes much more quickly.
I also feel like you're mentioning a lot of things that you're going through which sounds like that's a lot of pressure to like try to solve everything at once. Like you mentioned, you know, the sex life with your boyfriend, you know, all of the, that you're an honors student, that your grandfather's ill, that your boyfriend just graduated, like all of these different factors in your life. And that's a lot going on. And I think it's a lot to try to tackle all of that at once. I would maybe try to, you know, figure out one thing at a time. You know what I mean? And I'm sure that like all of these factors are obviously playing into maybe why you're not feeling as sexual with your boyfriend, and why you're not feeling, or why you're feeling depressed and all of that. But I would just try to kind of take a step back and like alleviate some of all of that pressure from yourself, because all of that's not going to figure it out itself all at once.
I agree. I also think in terms of like your therapist, not sort of like prioritizing these other things happening in your life, you have the right to say to her, like, I have a bunch of other shit going on. I feel like I have a grip on my eating disorder. I would really like to work out some of this other stuff. Like, you're paying her too. You know, it's not like,
also try to assert therapist. Yourself. And
yeah, but you know, I do think there is something to be said. Like, especially, you know, I know a lot of people that have like gone to therapy for eating disorders, and it is really good to have like consistency with a therapist and to like find that person that like can talk to you about that and understand that. I think that like you're totally in the right to like assert yourself in a way where you're just like, I want to talk about this. This is like affecting me, you know, like I don't know if you necessarily need to find another therapist, but like, you know, if that's something that you do feel, then definitely explore that. But if you like this therapist, I think you should totally say to her, like, I have a lot of shit happening right now that I would really like to talk about. And like, not all of it is related to my eating disorder, you know?
Or if that's a specific therapist that's like helping with your eating disorder, you could talk to someone else about all of your other, about your other issues that you want to discuss too. Like, there's ways where you can either do that, but like Greta said, you are the one that's paying for that. So, you know, I do think that you have a right to talk about other things.
Yeah, you can talk about whatever you want to talk about. 100%.
You know, and like, really, you're hiring this person to help you.
Yeah.
And like, if they're not helping you, then
I think the biggest thing Lo said earlier too, just about being nice to yourself and loving yourself, like, this is a really important time for you to make sure that you're doing that and make sure that you're caring for yourself, because that's the number one priority. And I think that doing that will also help make you feel better.
I agree.
I also, what Jill said was meaningful, and I think about like not trying to tackle every single thing at once that you feel like is an issue. I also think you need to take like a hard look at what really is going on and be realistic about what you can change and like what you might not be able to control, right?
Yeah, totally. I think we all want to, we all, especially now with like how we're programmed, we all just want to be able to tackle everything and do everything right away, when in reality, like, that's unrealistic.
Yeah, we're not like, I mean, like, we have this idea that we're supposed to be like strong and fast and beautiful and powerful and happy all the fucking time, but it's just like, it's just not real. So
yeah, it's not, it is not.
I also feel like that sort of thought like leads to spiraling, which is like always what I've struggled with when I've gone through depression, is like my brain just like spiraling, like going down that dark hole instead of being able to like stop it and be like, you are okay. Cause like the spiraling's the worst.
Well, girl, and this goes out to all of our listeners this week, loving ourselves is the hardest thing to do, but we must all try to do it. We gotta love our little hearts, our big hearts. We have to just try and focus on that. That's what I'm gonna try and focus on this week.
Me too.
I think we all should. I think this girl's inspiring us to focus on ourselves and loving ourselves. And what Lo and I said at the beginning, Lo, you and I need to be nice to ourselves and realize that we will get there and we will have those same experiences.
Yes, of course. And your experience will be its own and unique and one of a kind. You'll have a One Oak experience.
One Oak?
One of a kind.
Oh, just like the club, One Oak.
It's like the club?
That's why the club is called One Oak.
But oh my God. Wow. No, I never what knew that. A line. I never knew that either.
Am I blowing your
minds? You're blowing our minds.
Yes. Okay. But now One Oak is like Three Oak. So,
Our Lady Lovin'.
A couple of them.
Our Lady Lovin'. The lady, our Lady Lovin' today and last week too, is for all the women of Ireland. I know we have Irish listeners, and we just want to say we love you and are just proud.
We are proud for pro-choice.
Yes.
Proud for you all voting.
Yes, 100%.
All right, thank you guys. We'll see you next
week. We'll talk to you next week. Bye. Bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.